Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.
Good day and welcome to the car wash. This is episode number 47. On today's show, Sundowns announced new coaches and new signings. Pirates have released 8 players and we have our first fixtures of the season. So whether you're listening to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts or Game Time on Mahikeng 96.7 FM, welcome to the show. I am your host, Slu Paho, but I'm not alone. Rumor has it Chelsea tried to sign him to replace Kepa. It's Sean Roberts. How you doing?
Thank you. And it was just a rumor. Thank you, Slu.
Just the no truth. still very much retired. I've heard that the average midfielder runs about 10 kilometers in a match, but I know a guy who just finished running 200. It's Teko Modise. How you doing, bro?
I'm good at you, bro.
All good, all good. All right, we start off with the joke of the day before we... There's a lot of news, so...
Yo, this is a goodie. This is a goodie. If you see a robbery at an Apple store, does that make you an eyewitness?
Oh my God.
Jesus. Where do you get these things, Sean?
Oh no.
Come on. Okay.
Terrible. Terrible.
I thought it was good.
All right. So much has happened since last week. Oh my goodness. Last week's show. It was the initial news of Pito's departure is what we were reacting to.
Damn.
Now we know fully, he's taken the Sundowns fitness coach and performance analyst along with him. And Kevin Johnson has joined as his assistant.
What?
And Mamelodi Sundowns have announced 2 coaches as their head coaches and mad signings. So let's dive into this news of Sundown's new head coach. Teko, initial reactions, because me and Sean spoke about it last week, but what was your reaction to Pizzo resigning?
Yo, dude, because where I was, there was a network, so I was clueless of what was happening. So when I came back, that's when I found out. So I thought it was one of those jokes because I never actually pictured Pizzo leaving the team. So to me, it was a huge, huge surprise when that happened, because now, after finding out, I needed to find out more. What was the reason him leaving and all the type of stuff, because I wanted to make sense out of it. But now, after going through all those articles and, you know, having conversations with people, I get to understand his decision of leaving as well. So
tell us more, Teko.
So, yeah. Nah, I'm not going to do that.
It just shows you what happens behind closed doors, and we just don't know. Everything just looks peaches and creams from this side, and then I've also heard that it was the complete opposite behind closed doors. Putting aside the fact that they won everything, it was quite a hectic place to be behind the closed doors at Sundowns.
Yeah, and I mean, his departure, it seems out of nowhere, because I guess usually you get a send-off for that type of dude, and you know in the weeks before the end of the season that, oh, he's going to be leaving. But this one was just, boom, resignation notice and out the door.
Thanks for coming.
So now Mamelodi Sundowns have 2 new head coaches. It's Rulani Mokoena and...
You want to talk? Well, I was pronouncing his name. Come on, man.
That is
so unfair.
Yo, the other day I saw...
So unfair.
The other day Simon like looked at his name and I just saw stress in his face. Rulani Mokoena and Mangoba Mliti are now the Sundowns head coaches. So how do you think this balance will work? 2 head coaches, it's not a common thing in football, particularly for a big team. We know Rulani Mokoena has quite a big personality himself. How do you think that balance is going to work behind the scenes?
Look, it's either going to work amazingly well, or it's going to be a complete fail in terms of both coaches wanting the limelight. Both coaches are very capable of taking the team as a first-team coach by themselves, without a doubt. Interesting that Rulani declined the move to Al Ahly as well, which shows you his intentions.
Yep.
So, for me, that's already saying, right, well, it makes you think, did he know something when he re-signed for Sundowns those months ago? You know, I mean, it's just, it gets you thinking what's happening. Maybe he's planned this whole thing, going to Chippa on loan for a couple of months to coach, get a little bit of first team experience, then back to Sundowns. I don't know. It just sounds like the universe is just completely aligned with Rulani in this.
Yeah. But do you think that he'll enjoy working with Mliti as like a joint head, having been a head coach himself?
Yes, I do. I just think they are on the same page because they're both very, very good coaches, and they've both coached at the highest of levels, and they're both first team coaches. Do you know what I mean? And they have been assistant in the past few months, but there's no reason they can't work together. But it is very, very, very dangerous territory when you've got two first team coaches sort of hustling for the same job, and eventually that's what's going to happen. I believe you can't have two first team coaches, in my opinion. One is going to trump the other, whether the other becomes assistant or gets released. I don't know. But I think they're very capable of doing a job, in my opinion.
Deco, what do you think? Do you think it's going to be the greatest tag team championship ever?
It should, because one, I'm happy that there's continuity at Sundowns. There's nobody new that's coming in. Mm-hmm. That has to study the players, to study the culture of the team. I think that's what's important, the culture of the team. Those guys have been there. What Pizzo has won, they've won it with him at Sundowns. And they know the DNA of Sundowns. For them working together, they've been doing that, even though there were two assistant coaches. I think they have been doing that. Even Pizzo was the head coach. I don't think many things will change right now. I think they've been coexisting at Mamelodi Sundowns. I just wish that their personalities don't clash. Mm. I think that's my biggest worry, because we all know what pressure does to people, and we know that they're not getting an easy job. Yes, it's an exciting venture. It's exciting for them as coaches, but it's not easy. You're getting into a team, now you're becoming a head coach of a team that has been winning all along. So now it's because Mangoba has been an assistant for so long. He was a head coach before when he came to Sundowns. So he's been an assistant for so long. Rulani has been an assistant for so long as well. And, of course, he was a coach, 2-3 years ago for Orlando Pirates and Chippa, respectively. But then being a head coach of Mamelodi Sundowns is difficult altogether. But I think with what the president probably maybe has spoken to them, maybe makes sense for them to allow themselves to be co-coaches. And I think what's important as well is it's not them, it's the team, it's the players. I think that's what's important. I think whenever it gets tough, no personalities should come out and to clash, because what's important are the assets, and the assets are the players. The players have been the ones that are bringing in results. I think that should be the main focus on what the players need, what is it that we can improve the team with. And I've always rooted for Rulani. You guys know that I know for a fact that I know the role that he played when we won Champions League. I know that the role that he played in Mamelodi Sundowns' success. I know Mangoba's role that he played, in, even though he's an unsung hero. But now it's an opportunity for them to actually showcase that they're still capable. And what's interesting and nice about that is they do have the players to do so. So I don't see them, clashing heads or whatever the case might be. I see them working well together. And I just hope that, with the MTN8 that is coming up, I think that's the only trophy that has been eluding Mamelodi Sundowns. I think maybe that they can prove themselves there. Because what you want to do is with this job, with this big mountain to climb and big shoes to fill, is to start on a good note, start very well, to avoid all the negativity. Because there's doubt, there's always going to be doubts. And it's very difficult to fill in Pizzo Msimane's shoes. But one thing that I can say is, every fan and everybody at Mamelodi Sundowns gave Pizzo an opportunity. They supported him when he came to the team. Pizzo wasn't this Pizzo today when he came to Mamelodi Sundowns. He was the guy that wanted to change the fortune of the team. He was the guy that wanted to win trophies. Yes, he sounded crazy, but he did it. So now I think if they can apply the same system and supporting Rulani and the Mangoba into that and cushion them and help them, because this is the new challenge. This is a big, big challenge. It's not that the coach that left was doing bad things. He just left after winning 3 trophies. So that says a lot. So I think if they can support them, I think they can coexist. And yeah, man, you can see, and I think also they need to continue challenging for owners as well. They need to do what Peter was doing. They need to do what Sunlands has always been doing, going into Champions League, doing well there and try to win it again. You know, I think they need to rewrite their own history as coaches now. I think this is a big opportunity for them, and I know they thought long and hard about it. But yet again, it's an opportunity that any coach in South Africa will never pass. So I think for them, it's a big, big step. They need to take it. But it's going to be a challenge because there's so many players that are coming in within the new team and they always want to play. So it's for them to actually maybe being allowed to start a new team because they've started, I think, 13 players or whatsoever, which is something that we'll talk about later. But I think it's an opportunity for them. But I see them working well together because I've seen them working at Mamelodi Sundowns. I've played under them. So for me, it's very, very interesting. It'll be very interesting to see how they're going to coexist.
So Tseko, I agree with you 100%. I mean, they've got the players, they've got the squad. Do you think it's more about just managing the change room, managing the big personalities in there and trying to get... because, look, there's going to be a lot of upset players in the new season with players not starting. They've got a massive squad. Do you think that's their biggest struggle, or do you think the biggest struggle is sort of being mandated from Patrice to bring results, to bring trophies, or probably both because it's such a big team?
I think both. And I think even when Peter was there, there's so many players that were unhappy.
Yeah.
Not everybody was playing. I don't think that will change, you know, because of those new coaches. I think what needs to happen from the word go from the first training session is to respect the guys, because Peter commanded respect. And when he walked into the room, everybody respected him because he was a straightforward guy. He would say whatever comes to his mind. So these are two different guys, Rulani and Mangoma. Mangoma is a very calm dude. He's a guy that we used to go to when we needed, you know, comfort, when we needed to understand certain things. He's like a father figure in that team, and he's well respected among the players.
Yeah.
So I don't think that will change at all. But I just think now they need to respect their new roles now as head coaches now. So I think that's a little bit of a shift from the players to do that. If the players can do that as quickly as possible, the mandate will never change, irrespective of which coach comes to Sundown.
Yeah.
The mandate will never change. The expectations are there for them to win certain things. But I think if the players can respect the coaches now and continue with the DNA of Mamelodi Sundowns, I don't think there can be an issue. And also, the players that have been there, you know, make sure that all the new guys, they adjust very quickly, because those are the guys that are brought in there to actually take the team forward. They're not there to add numbers. They're there to actually to take the team forward and contribute.
Yep.
So the players, the responsibilities that have been there, the senior players, they're there to make sure that these boys acclimatize very early. And it's, I think for the new players, it's exciting as well, because now there's new coaches.
Mm.
You know, it's you might look, others were saying, hey, that's bad now because Peter signed this player and now he leaves. I think for me, if I'm a player, I'm excited because I'm thinking to myself, there might be a new lineup altogether.
Sure.
Yeah.
There might be a fresh start altogether. So I need to work hard. I need to work my ass off to be in that lineup, and I need to contribute when I'm there. I don't want to be just part of Mamelodi Sundowns, because it's easy to sign moment for Mamelodi Sundowns. I've been saying this for years. It's easy. Once you have a good season somewhere, once you show potential, Mamelodi Sundowns wants players with potential to come in help the team.
Yeah.
But now to play, once you're there to play, it's a different thing altogether. So now you need to play at your best every single day, every single game. You need to train the way you play. And I think that's one thing that most players, when they come to Sundowns, they forget. You can't come in with your Maritzburg performance. You need to up your game. I'm not saying Maritzburg is bad, but I'm just, okay, let's speak about cheaper then. You can't come with a cheaper performance. You need to understand that the way you train is how you're going to play, because you need to understand that every position probably now has got three players.
Yeah.
And now you'll be competing with guys that have been consistent for 3 or 4 years. They've won trophies altogether. So now, in your mind, you need to prepare yourself that when the opportunity comes, I need to grab it, irrespective of who it is. And I think sometimes players, you know, give up very easily, you know, throw the towel and feel like they're not good enough. Yes, you're competing amongst the best in the country, but this is an opportunity for you to judge yourself how good you are. And what's better way to train with those guys every day, to go to the games every day? But now the games have changed. When you play for small teams, you're just waiting for big games. Now we play for big team. Every game is important.
Yeah.
So I think those guys need to adjust to that. I think the sooner they adjust, especially the Shalolilis, the Kemis, all those new guys, once they adjust to that, I think Mamelodi Sundowns will be a very, very difficult team to beat this season.
For sure. So we're going to move on to pole position. Pole position is usually where we ask a question on Facebook, but this week we actually got an interesting question posed to us. So here's pole position.
Pole position.
Sometimes it's signing all the players to go and bench them. We all know that football, it's all about business. Players are also looking for wages. So, but then the talent, it really kills the talent, because soon our Bafana will be looking forward to select South African players to compete internationally. So it will be very, very hard for Coach Molefe Ntseke, because some of the players will be at Sundowns not playing, and those players are been playing regularly in their previous clubs before they leave to Sundowns.
So it's an interesting opinion here that I want to get you guys' thoughts on. So, just to be official, Sundowns have now made 13 signings this window.
Is that all?
you know what tripped me out the other day? I saw, and it almost looked like I needed to like wake up, but I saw Neymar holding a Sundowns shirt, and I was like, no way.
I saw that as well.
For like a split second, my brain was like, yeah. But this week they added Kermit Erasmus. They confirmed Jody February and Grant Margaman. There was already, Shalu Lile signed, Mvala signed.
Plenty.
Gift Motupa. I don't really have enough time right now to get through all of them. But this opinion here. Do you think that the Sundowns bench is swallowing up potential Bafana talent?
Yeah, it's. You know what, Slu? And this is just my opinion. The answer is yes, obviously, without a doubt. But also Bafana, in my opinion, has lost its feel. You know what I mean? Bafana is not Bafana as it was. It's just Bafana. it's lost its feel. And players nowadays, because football is not forever, players are being selfish. Players are taking the paychecks. I don't blame them. Absolutely, I don't blame them. It's all about timing, though. If a 21 or 22-year-old is going to go do Sundowns and sit bench, then yes, it's a wrong move. It's a wrong decision. I did that. It was a bad move. 3 years on the bench, it didn't serve me a good purpose at all. But players know the risk when signing for Sundowns. For example, a George Manoleka now to Sundowns is a good move, I believe. As a couple other players have gone to Sundowns, I believe is a good move. And I do believe he'll start as well. But yeah, of course it swallows up talent. I mean, if you look at Sundowns, their development program, the players coming through are absolutely phenomenal. Yeah. They really are. But they're not getting the game time they deserve. So I think the question is, how do they address that?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? How would they address that? And that's something that Patrice needs to sort out.
And they did, like recently I even saw on their Twitter, before some of these signings were made, they were praising their youth products, because a couple of them came up, did very, very well last season. Deco, from your perspective, when you're a youth product and you do well in a season, but then your team goes and signs Motobi Mvala, Grant Margaman, and all these guys in your position, do you feel as though they might take offense to that and go, were my performances not enough?
Hey, Slow, I can't relate to that, because I've never been any youth and in any youth system before. But I'll tell you what the norm has been at Sundowns. They never rushed all the younger players from the development structure to be part of the first team. What they normally do is they'll bring them in, train with the first team, and go play with the reserves or whatever the case might be. Because they want those players, when they come into the first team, they're ready already. And once they're ready, Mamelodi Sundowns, they will never hesitate to play them, irrespective of who's on the pitch or who's on the bench or who they sign. So I don't think that will change at all. Because with Pacey as well, we imagine we had everyone. We had all the superstars, but Pacey played. So it didn't matter who it was. Madisha, for instance, it was the same case as well. From development, it didn't matter who we had. Madisha would play. If he was playing well, he would play. I think that's the tradition at Mamelodi Sundowns. They'll still continue bringing up the boys that are ready. But the truth of the matter is, not every boy will be good enough to play in the first team. And yet again, you can't ignore all these other performances that are happening around you with other teams where you feel like this player will come in and help the team. Yes, not every signee works out well. Some does, some doesn't. But you can't falter people for signing players hoping that it will turn out better. But yes, coming to the question that you posed to Sean, I think most of the time is, I think people need to understand that as a footballer, you know, as a fan, I understand where the question comes from. But as a footballer, I'm playing from a smaller team. My ambitions are always to play for a big team. Mm-hmm. I want to know how it feels like to be part of that setup, to win, to have a winner's medal. Because at the end of the day, when the career is gone and finished and done, you judge don't know how whatever you won, what is it that you won.
Yeah.
And I feel like in South Africa we tend to push that aside and focus on, yeah, but he's gonna be part of the national team. What makes, if he wasn't part of the national team when playing in a small team, what makes you think that him not playing in a big team will still be part of the national team? It doesn't make sense to me. True. But for me, what I'm saying is these players need an opportunity. Yes, some will work out, some won't, but some need to take risks because this is the career that they chose. And if you're not gonna take risks, you don't wanna sit back and say to yourself, you know, I had an opportunity to play for a big team. I never did. I don't know how it feels like. That's what we play football for. We're playing football to be in those stress environments, in those big games, in championship. That's what we play football for, to win. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we have good performances because we don't have the infrastructure within our teams, but the talent actually make us stand out. And all these big teams, when they come through, you want to tell me that a young player shouldn't sign because he's scared of being on the bench at Sundowns? Sometimes these things work out. You get there, the players start playing regularly.
Yeah, you got to back yourself, you know?
Exactly. As a player, you need to be confident enough. Like Sean has said, you know exactly what you're going to face when signing for Mamelodi Sundowns. You're going to face players that are playing very, very, very diverse, players that understand each other. But you must also understand that these players, at some point, they didn't understand each other. Mm. When Peter came through his first full season, he signed 13 players. And in that season, we won the trophy, our first trophy. Mm. We won the league. So this is not new for me when I see Mamelodi Sundowns doing it. Last season or a season even before, people were going around saying the age group of Mamelodi Sundowns. Now when they're trying to change things around and implement and bring in certain guys with a different age or maybe with a different style of play, now there's always going to be complaints about that. But Sundowns signed all the best players to them and they don't use them. But the thing is, so sometimes we reckon that the best player is the best player, but when it comes to Sundowns, no longer the best player, which means that player is the best player cheaper, not the best player in the country. If you can't break through there, then it shows that you're not the best player. You're not one of the best players in the country. Sometimes it happens that, you know, there's unfortunate situations where the coach is overlooking you, he doesn't use you, and whenever you come in, we can see the difference. We're not going to keep quiet about it. We're fans. We'll always say that, yeah, but I wish, you know, the certain set slew can have more game time, because you could see in these couple of games that he played, there was a difference. But the thing is, I'm still saying, it doesn't only happen at Sundowns. It also happened at Chiefs. It also happened at all these big teams and Pirates as well. Mm. Players sign because they come from a good team. They were playing very well. Once they get there, they get very complacent. They forget that they think that they can get away with their performance at the previous teams. And that's a different ball altogether. Yeah. The pressures are high. Every game, it's like a cup final. Every game, it's a must win. Those big teams, they've got high standards. So now, if you're a footballer, you're signing for Mamelodi Sundowns, Kaizer Chiefs, or Pirates, just know that your competition is very, very tough. You have to train the way you play. And if you're not good, you know, you didn't make peace with your spirit that at some point you're going to sit on the bench and somebody else will take your place, then you might not, don't sign, then stay there, the small team, renew your 5-year contract and stay there.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, we all want nice things. Players want nice things. You want a better salary, first of all. So why would I stay in a small team getting a small salary when a big team can offer me a better salary and improve me as a player? Because players also need to improve. And some certain teams, let's be honest here, some small teams are not getting coached. They're just getting motivated. Yeah. You get to the dressing room, you find a coach that claps hands the whole day like it's a choir. You need to be coached.
Yeah.
It's very surprising. I promise you,
coach
I found
the next week.
Chief, I've seen players coming to Sundowns, very talented players, but you can see that it's not been coached. And you feel like now he needs to be coached. Now that on its own, now the player feels like, but I've been good. Now this guy wants to change me. No, it doesn't want to change you. It just wants to coach you, because where you're from, you're playing a free role. You're doing what you want, what you wanted to do, because you were the one of the talented players in the team. Yeah. Now you've got 24 talented players in the team that needs to play within the structure of the team. So now you need to be coached within the structure of the team. Mm-hmm. And most of the players fail to get that. I've not, just to mention one, No Mandela, when he came to Mamelodi Sundowns, he was a hell of a good player from Free State Stars. But at Free State Stars, he was one of the talented boys, so he was playing this free role. He was very dangerous. When he came to Mamelodi Sundowns, now he needed to fit within the structure of the team. It became a problem. Mm. Not that he was a problem, but you can tell that the boy hasn't been coached. The boy hasn't been, there's so many steps that he passed. And I don't blame the players. I blame the coaches, because now you get to the team, your overseas coach, they came here with a cooking certificate, and then you get to these teams. You don't coach the boys, because for you, you're just here to get your bag. You don't coach the players.
Yeah.
So now even if those talented players, for argument's sake, those talented players are playing the small teams, they get opportunity to play to Bafana Bafana. They're going to get exposed.
True.
Because there needs to be a structure, because now you're playing against your Ghana team, players that are playing overseas, players that are playing for good teams that have structure. Now you come from Free State Stars, You're getting into the Bafana Bafana side, it becomes difficult.
It does, yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Before. Exactly. And not that the players maybe not are good enough, but there's certain elements of the game that they need, the fundamentals of the game that they need. You can have all the talent that you need. You can have the speed, you can have everything that you need, but if you can't fit within the structure of any team that you play for, you're not a good player.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, we win games, especially now football is going forward. Chief. Now it's more tactics, it's more brains than anything else. And if you can't be within that spaces, and then it becomes a problem. You can't be a player and specialize in one thing, that me, the space. So what happens then, we play indoor football.
Yeah. So you have to be able to adapt.
Coach Teko, what do you say?
All right.
No, man. Players need to learn to adapt. Players need to learn to be coached. To be coached, because I've seen so many players that they don't want to be coached. Players need to be coached, and sometimes to be coached, coaches go back to grade zero, like pass the ball like this, receive like this, and sometimes you take those things for granted. But in the game, those two, four seconds that you're delaying, you could have been a goal. So people normally people in small teams, they don't understand. But once you get to the big team, you'll understand all these things. And the sooner you adapt to that, the sooner you're coachable. Trust me, there's no other reason for you not to play.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Speaking of, moving to a big team and needing to adapt, as we dive into the international news desk. That we are joined by Kurt Buckerfield. Kurt, how you doing?
Hey man, how's it going? How's it going, everyone?
Hey Kurt.
We are all good. We are all good. So we've been talking about transfers, signing for big teams, proving yourself, and we just recently had the English Premier League, the transfer deadline day. It feels weird to say that in October, but here we are. So walk me through, Arsenal came through randomly with one, but start us off with Man United, who confirmed a couple signings. So what type of players are they getting in Cavani and Telles?
Yeah, well, Slu, look, there's obviously a lot of negativity surrounding Manchester United now. And I understand that the club...
Why? What happened, Kurt?
Yeah, Sean. No, so I understand the club is in disarray. I understand the frustration from fans. I'm one of them. But if we stand back and look at things objectively, the team has been strengthened with four signings. So one of them we discussed weeks back, which was Donny van der Beek. A midfielder who will be in the starting 11 in no time. Alex Telles, who is a left back, who I think comes in and shows just how deprived Manchester United have been in that position in recent years with Luke Shaw there. Then there's a youngster, an 18-year-old Uruguayan, Facundo Pelestri. I admittedly know nothing about the guy. Apparently he was with Diego Forlan's team, and Solskjaer was speaking to Forlan about him, and he seems to be highly rated. But again, I know nothing about him. And then the other is, of course, Edinson Cavani, who over the last decade is one of the leading goal scorers in world football. And, yes, the board made these signings at the last minute. And yes, these might not have been the club's initial targets. But these are players who strengthen the team regardless. United finished third last season, despite long-term injuries to some key players. But this team is now stronger, and there can't be any more excuses. And, United probably should have signed a centre-back, but that back line, for all of its shortcomings, had the third best defensive record last season. So, I mean, you guys know how I feel about Luke Shaw. You know how I feel about Harry Maguire. But I just feel like fans need to now rally behind the team because, you know, the board is a separate entity from the squad. And all this negativity is undoubtedly affecting the players. And we've seen that in the first three games. It's been absolutely horrific. But again, if we stand back, this team has been strengthened. And I think that the Solskjaer will have better players to work with. He'll have more options. And they, like I said, cannot be any more excuses.
Do you think that Solskjaer's job is safe? Do you think Pochettino might be the guy to replace him if that is the case?
I think so, Sean. If I'm honest with you, I think so. I mean, it's pretty much proven that Pochettino is a better manager than Solskjaer is. But we're in the cycle. Manchester United is in the cycle now where they're hiring and firing every 2 years. And the dangerous thing with that is that when a new manager comes in, he has a lot of players he doesn't want. So the board will back Van Gaal, they'll back Mourinho, they'll back Solskjaer, they'll get players they want. A new manager comes in and wants to change up everything again. And what the club is doing very silently, no one's talking about it because, you know, everyone wants to focus on the negative. But there's a lot of young players that the club has signed in over the last year. Young Spanish players, this Palestri kid, this Ahmad Traore, who they signed from Atalanta, who has been praised heavily over the year. He hasn't played a lot of senior football, but the team is improving, and I think that if Pochettino had to come in, you know, in the next year, I think that he will work with the current crop. So that's why I believe it could go well. But will it happen? I'm not sure. I do think that fans are so fickle these days, and you know, three bad games and everyone wants Solskjaer out. But last season when we were unbeaten for 18 games, it was, yeah, he's the man for the job. So let's just relax, you know. Let's just relax. No one's calling him the next Guardiola, you know. But let's just relax and see what happens. We can't change our opinions every month, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I mean, it has been. Man United does have
really feel good.
One of the biggest fan bases in the world. So there's always going to be. I mean, on Twitter, the swing is really big. Like I saw it with Arsenal. I saw it with Arsenal as well, because we also came in randomly with a deadline day signing. Yeah. After just weeks of like, oh, we're trying to negotiate prices down, they just paid Thomas Partey's release clause of £45 million.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I want to talk about this really badly because of how the move happened. So they signed Lucas Torreira from us on loan.
Yeah.
They refused to negotiate a swap deal with money for him. We were like, we want Partey, you want Torreira. Meet us in the middle. They were like, nah, we're going to sign Torreira on loan, but you have to pay Thomas Partey's release clause. Basically said no negotiations. So Arsenal, being the petty, petty club that I support, said, all right, y'all, halfway through deadline day so that they can't sign a replacement, they just paid Partey's release clause.
Yeah.
But, Teko, I think weeks or months ago, actually, now, you spoke about the importance of release clauses. Do you think that this kind of illustrates it? Because Partey did want the move to Arsenal, but if the team refuses to negotiate, do you think do you still believe it's a better thing to have these release clauses in place so that a move can still be made?
Indeed, I think it's important to have the release clause, because once you get to a position where teams start fighting you because you want to leave or this and that, it becomes a problem, because we have seen how many teams have been petty about keeping the player, even the player is not unhappy, it's so unhappy within the team. So once the payout clause is there, if the team that wants you can actually be able to pay that, then there's no more attachment to the team. I think it works a little bit better for the players, because I believe in so many years that players are slaves, especially when you don't have the payout clause, you become a slave now. You end up being in a place where you don't want to be, you end up being in a place where you're not used, and you've got no reason to stay there, and they'll give you all the excuses for you to stay. They'll come and tell you that, hey, chief, you need to stay because there's no team that will pay you, that will buy you out. But when there's a buyout clause, it becomes easier to negotiate yourself out.
So, and by the way, Kurt, you watch a lot of Champions League and Spanish football, so you know the type of player we're signing in Partey. What was your reaction to the deadline day news?
No, it was huge, man. I mean, Arsenal have been crying out for a player like Thomas Partey for years, a real presence in midfield. And I do believe that his arrival alone makes Arsenal a real top four contender. I know that Manchester United haven't been particularly good. Chelsea have been a little inconsistent. So Arsenal might have challenged for the top four without him. But he makes them real, real contenders. I think, you know, when I was in Spain, and this is a shameless plug, but I was in Spain last year, and I watched Atletico play Real Madrid. And Thomas Partey was the best player on the field. And there was Ramos, there was Eden Hazard, there was João Felix, Diego Costa, all these top guns. Thomas Partey was the best player on the field. I'm very interested to see where he fits into the current system, because we've seen Arteta play, or prefer a 3-4-3, which is effectively a 5-4-1 without the ball. And his current midfield options, Elneny, Xhaka, Ceballos. But defensively, Partey is a huge upgrade on both Elneny and Xhaka. But I don't think that his arrival simply means that he slots in for either one of them. I think Arteta now has the option of switching formations to perhaps a 4-3-3 with Partey as the anchor, the ball winner, the man who provides protection to the defenders when the fullbacks and wingers go forward. But, you know, we have this this problem of stereotyping African players as a strength and the rock in midfield. But he's technically brilliant as well. He spreads a pass as good as anybody. He can turn on a 1 cent coin. He's a brilliant, brilliant player. And at 27, I feel like Arsenal have signed him at the right time. And I just can't wait to see how it goes, yeah.
Yeah, it was a weird day. We fired our mascot, the Gunnosaurus. And then we signed Partey later in the day. It was the biggest swing on Twitter. Everyone was like, the Gunnosaurus? And then Ozil came through and was like, I'll pay the Gunnosaurus the salary. We were like, what is going on in the world?
It's all very reality TV right now, isn't it?
It's insane, man. Plus, the season itself has started off with such a bang. BBC did a report recently on how many goals. It's like we're on 3.75 goals per game or something.
Yeah,
amazing.
And it just feels like it's
reality.
Except
if you're playing against United.
then you'll average six a game then. Oh, man. But Kurt, we're going to be on an international break, so we will see what we talk about next week. But it's always a pleasure to have you on. Have a great day.
Cool. You too, guys. Cheers, man.
Cheers, Kurt.
No way.
Up next, we have this news coming out of Orlando Pirates. They have released 8 players. Top of that list is probably Mulenga and Mlambo, but Ndengani is also gone, Malepe, Mapangule. So 8 players now released. It's a shame for Mlambo. You know, when he arrived at Pirates 2 seasons ago, there were people calling him one of the best midfielders in the PSL. I think Rulani said something along those lines, and now he's a free agent. Who has to find a club very quickly before the season starts. But for a team that signed something like 11, 12 players at the start of last season, do you think this is just getting rid of dead weight? Do you think it's maybe a wage bill concern?
I think it's all the above, for sure. I think, and Teko knows a lot more about this than I do, but I think Pirates in recent history have had very big squads. And I'm not too sure how it's been in the last couple of seasons, but you've seen the amounts of signings like you've just said that they've made. And of course, with those sort of signings, you've got to start getting rid of the non-performers, if you like. And maybe a couple of those players are quite expensive as well. So there's obviously been some deal that's been organized in the background that we're not able to see, whether it's a payout of some sorts. But when there are big squads, you know, it seems to be pretty hectic. Oh my God, 8 players are being released, but it's just, you've seen 11 players being brought in, so it's just a business. It's just a business model. Unfortunate for the boys as well, but it is what it is, eh? I think that's the saying of 2020. It is what it is, but unfortunately, that's where we're at, Slu.
Do you think that it's a little rough of Pirates to do this so close to the season starting?
I think they're trying to manage the squad. I think sometimes it's better to have a certain number of players that will be the coach will actually be using, and it brings also, there's a lot of harmony within that. When players are being used, when everybody's playing, there's a lot of harmony within that. And you must understand that Orlando Pirates also has a pressure to win to win the league, to win the trophies as well. So what you see is they sign the players that will come in and help the team and actually be in the starting lineup or on the bench. And before you do that, you look at the players, you look at the stats, who hasn't been played for the last season, who has been used less. Do we still need him? I think that's what Orlando Pirates is going through. I think that's what every team is going through. Other teams are strengthening. Other teams are getting rid of the players to make space for other ones to come in. And I think that's what Orlando Pirates is doing.
And elsewhere, we saw a bid come in for Nurkovic. So Saudi Arabian club ABA FC tabled a $400,000 bid to Kaizer Chiefs. But Kaizer Chiefs came out on their Twitter, basically throwing water on that fire, basically saying he's not for sale. Mm. But
every player is for sale. Yeah.
That's the thing, right? Yeah. And when you're talking about this much money, I guess also Chiefs right now are probably trying their best to hold on to him because they can't find a player right now. But do you think that this is a signal that clubs are sniffing around hunting Nurkovic?
Yeah. I mean, $400,000, what's that? R6.5 million, in my opinion, is the season he's had, he's worth at least 2.5 times that. So obviously they're going to reject that. But if someone comes in and says, right, here's $1 million, I think Chiefs are going to have to seriously look at it. But I still don't think they would sell him. Basically, to answer your question, I don't think they can afford to lose him, to be honest, no matter what the price is, especially with what's happening in terms of the ban. How do you replace a player that's had such an impact in the PSL in his first season? You can't. You can't, especially in the PSL. You can't. He's a very predictable player, but he does it week in and week out. He kills defenses. If I were Chiefs, I would tear up his old contract and give him a new 3-year, 4-year deal, and just hold on to him because I really believe he's that good. And he's certainly one of the finds in the last 5 years of the PSL, without a doubt.
Teko, your reaction? Could Chiefs afford to lose a guy like Samir?
Nope. I think he's the best thing that they've had last season. And we spoke about Nurkovic in length. I mean, coming from a foreign country to come to Kaizer Chiefs and be that dominant in the first season, I think that was very impressive. We haven't seen that in a while. The last time we saw those, it was Yomusona or Yombesumas. So we haven't seen that in a while. And I think it's important for Kaizer Chiefs, like Shona said. I think I'll give him a new contract to build a team around him. Mm-hmm. And also the ban also plays a part in Kaizer Chiefs signings and all that type of stuff and selling. Because I believe that even if there is a better offer, if you release Nurkovic to whoever that wants to buy him, who are you going to replace him with? Mm. You know, you're not able to sign right now. You don't know whether the case is going to be dismissed or not. So now they're in a fickle, very, very fragile position. So I think it's best for them to keep whatever that they have until they can figure out what's the future.
You see, Teko, so just to jump in there, so what we've just spoken about before, so Nurkovic obviously doesn't have a sell-on clause or a release clause, if you know what I mean.
We've just spoken
about this at length. So, I mean, it's interesting. And I know it doesn't happen a lot in South Africa, but if there was a club that was going to meet his release clause, I would have imagined it would have been around the 10, 12 million rand mark, which is not a headache for a lot of teams overseas.
How long did he sign?
I would imagine a 3-year deal. That's what I would imagine. But I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll be lying if I said that. I know.
If the thing is, like, if you want to make your business smart business, I think you should start putting in the buyout clause there for him. Mm. So that they can, whatever the chances are, they can sell him at the right price and they can make money if they decide to do so in the future. Mm. Because then it becomes easier. It becomes an easy transition because that's a South African problem. We don't want players. It's either the teams don't want players to have the buyout clause, or the players maybe don't know, or the agents maybe don't think that it's important for them to put on those buyout clause. And I think also what's important is to put in the buyout clause for any team that is outside the African continent and put a buyout clause in South African market value. Mm. Because you can't put in a buyout clause for international value and then the next thing, you know, playing at Pirates and then Maritzburg wants to buy you and then there's 20 million or not, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So I think it's maybe slowly and things will change a bit. We can see things are changing a bit. So hopefully, you know, there will be more rules that actually protect the players, and because the players at the end of the day are the assets. There's a reason why the PSL is getting new sponsors and all that other type of stuff, because of the players are the people that wants to see, not the chairmen and not the coaches, but the players themselves. Sure. So I think there should be more, you know, to be done for players' protection.
Yeah.
Speaking of players, up next we have 10 quick fire questions, which is a segment where I get your favorite PSL players on the line and put them on the spot. This week we have...
Hi, my name is Onesimo Passera from SuperSport United, defender, and this is my 10 quick fire questions.
Question number one, who is the funniest guy in the PSL that you've played with?
Shaquille Mutale.
Who is the worst dressed?
Who is the worst dressed? It was Richard Bote, yeah.
What do you think is the worst mistake you've made in a match?
I think scored an on goal. It was against Huddersfield.
Oh, when you were playing for Plymouth Argyle.
Yeah.
If you were to ask anybody at SuperSport United to go out for a beer, who would you call?
Rusike.
Currently, what is your favorite footballing memory?
It was recently when we won MTN.
All right. What is the best goal either you've scored or a teammate has scored while you were on the field?
The best goal I scored. It was actually also on the goal of the year in Europe, was when we were playing against after. When I scored that goal, that's when also on the same day I scored the own goal. Funny enough.
Eish, the highs and lows of football.
I'm telling you, on the day I scored that cracker, and then I went on to score own goals.
All right.
Yeah.
Next question. What is your favorite car at the moment?
The Lambo, the SUV one.
If I were to go to your hometown in Zimbabwe and order some food, what do you suggest that I try?
To order some food. Me, I love my pap. So.
Yeah.
Me, I love my pap and, you know, in any meat. So I'll say go for a pap and, you know, meat and shakalaka and, you know, yeah. And your bright thing.
And then last but not least, what is your favorite holiday destination?
Favorite holiday destination is gotta be Makino.
When last did you visit?
It's been a while now. It's been a while because the last I went to, I didn't go there. I wanted to go, planned to go there, but I didn't. I ended up going to Mauritius. But yeah, it's been a while since I went there.
Where did he say?
Mauritius.
Oh, so Mauritius, okay.
Yeah, that's the last place you went, but Makinos...
Where's that?
I don't know. Sounds like it's in Portugal.
I think it's
Makinos.
Makinos.
Oh, Makinos.
Makinos. Oh.
Makinos.
In Greece. Okay. Makinos.
Yeah.
Thank you, brother.
By the way, fun fact, Simon, like, researched this goal that Passera's talking about, but because Plymouth Argyle is a League One team in England, it's really hard to find highlights, but he managed to find it. And I found the match report on transfermarket.com. And not only did he score the cracker and then an own goal, he also went off injured just after halftime.
Oh,
so
man.
It's just a tough day.
What a 45 minutes.
It's just a tough day at the office for Jeez,
bro.
All right. We have some fixtures, right? So obviously we have the international break right now, but when we come back at the end of next week, we have the MTN 8 quarterfinals. So it's interesting. We have TTMFC who, you know, earned their path to the MTN 8 in a unique way. Yeah. They'll be taking on SuperSport United, and Gaetano Temba's already thrown some shots. He said that, TTMFC is a closed book.
Damn.
And then we have Orlando Pirates versus Cape Town City. We'll have Kaizer Chiefs versus Maritzburg United and Mamelodi Sundowns versus Bloom Celtic, which is an interesting fixture because they just met in the Nedbank Cup final, which had a whole bunch of controversy around that. So
some crackers.
A bit of a revenge match
Some crackers. So we're going to go with who we think is going to win quickly.
Yeah. We'll do proper score predictions next week. But,
yeah.
But predictions for each match.
So I'm going for a SuperSport win. I'm going for a Cape Town City win.
Ooh.
I'm going for a Kaizer Chiefs win. And I'm going for a Sundowns win.
Aren't we doing this next week? Hey guys.
We'll do score predictions next week. Okay, let's do this. Let me get an early prediction for the winner of the whole competition.
Ah, I see where you're going. Cape Town City.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Deco.
Yo, guys. I'll go for Mamelodi Sundowns.
Obvious.
Mamelodi Sundowns.
For the MTNA. No, because in Cape Town City is. Cape Town City is, they lost Kemet Erasmus.
I was about to say, I think I made the wrong decision. I forgot about it. Yeah.
So it's whoever that comes in and fills in those gaps is going to be very, very difficult. Hmm. And we know that how Erasmus was imported in Cape Town City. So for me, Mamelodi Sundowns. And I think maybe it would be great to see Mamelodi Sundowns and Pirates in the final because of Pirates. I think I like how Pirates play. I love how Pirates play.
And they have a couple big signings. Let's
continue that form.
Yeah.
All right. Up next, we have the Secret Footballer, which is where Sean Roberts tells us a little story that somebody has said about the league or local football. What do you have for us this week?
So this player, obviously from Sundowns, like we don't know who it is because he's a Secret Footballer. He said, "I can't believe he has just gone just like that." So he's obviously talking about his coach Pizzo, and it's a question to you, Teko. Is that I'm not too sure how many players that were signed for Sundowns have gone just because that Pizzo is the coach, but. You know, if you put yourself in this position now and the coach that you've gone to has just disappeared, how do you, what's the question? How do you relate to that? How do you bounce back from that? I mean, surely you can't just move to a club because of the coach, but it happens all the time, right?
Yeah.
And so what do you suggest for the guys out there that have signed for Sundowns, knowing that Pizzo is going to be their coach, that fits his style of play, and now he's gone?
Yeah, I mean, look, we can't ignore the fact that the signings that Pizzo has done, actually has spoken to the agents or the players about how he wants them to join Mamelodi Sundowns. So therefore, when you go there as a player, you know for a fact that the coach wants you to be there. So that's an extra boost. Now that he left, it becomes a big challenge for a player to realize that the person that actually signed you is not here. But we've seen that this happening all over the world. But I think what's important for players is to realize that you've got a job, the contract on a job has a badge of the team, not the badge of the coach. Mm. I think you should be doing duties for the club because you are signed, and that's what you need to do. I think it's important to adjust your mentality very quickly. It's an opportunity now that there's other coaches. You need to prove yourself once again, since you were going to prove yourself either way, whether the coach wanted you there or not. So I think it's important that you continue with that mentality and make sure that when the opportunity comes your way, you grab it.
Sure.
And be prepared. I think that's the biggest thing. Just
that's
be prepared.
That's all you can do, yeah, 100%.
So funny thing, former Sundowns player Bongani Zungu was another transfer deadline day move. He finally confirmed for Rangers. It's funny, the club sporting director Russ Wilson said that his lockdown period here, so Zungu being here, was the only thing that prevented the move from materializing earlier. And I saw a couple people on Twitter going, yeah, no, that whole thing about him being overweight was just the sun, which was the tabloid over in the UK. They were talking about our boy.
Damn. Because we were surprised about that.
Yeah, we were. Because we were like, no, we've seen him play.
This guy's not fat.
He's not fat. I mean, I don't know. What's your reaction, though? He's joining pretty much.
He's on loan, right?
Yeah, it's a season-long loan.
Yeah.
But we'll see. It's one of those. There's a lot of loan moves happening. I think he'll probably end up getting a permanent.
I mean, look. Zungu to Rangers. Rangers is a massive team. They are huge. It's one of the biggest derbies in the world. Certainly top five derbies in how big it is in the world. And for him just to be part of that match day, hopefully it's going to be crowds by then. I don't know. But it's a massive, massive move for him. If he does well at Rangers, the floodgates will open, I promise you. That is just Premier League stuff from there, in my opinion.
Deco, what's your reaction, particularly because he's going to be coached by Steven Gerrard? Do you think it's like the perfect fit for a centre-mid like Zungu?
It's a perfect fit. I mean, you've been coached by a person that actually bulldozed the midfield all his career. He knows all the qualities of a midfielder. And he speaks highly of Bongani, and I think it's an opportunity for the boy. And I think it's about time that we have one of our own playing in one of the big teams. And I think we know how big Rangers is, and I'm just happy for Bongani that he's getting this opportunity. I just hope that, you know, from the word go, he cements his place so that he can get a permanent move or maybe get into another big team, maybe an EPL or whatever the case may be. But Rangers is the right step. I just want to congratulate him and wish him luck.
Yeah, man, we're going to be tuning in. I mean, the only problem is I don't think we get Scottish Premier League. Oh, wait, we do because of ESPN. ESPN actually has rights to
Scottish League.
So we're going to see the Scottish League. All right, but it's going to be exciting stuff. It's always good to see a guy make a step up like that. Up next, we have This Week in Football History.
Today, we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from This Week in Football History.
This week in 1866, in Bristol, one Charles Refford Brown was born. He only captained the English national team twice, but his lasting legacy is the invention of the word soccer.
Oh.
Yeah.
How cool is that?
He was the first guy. Not a lot of people know him, but shout out Charles Refford Brown.
Thanks, Charlie boy.
this week in 2010, Orlando Pirates were crowned MTNA champions following a victory over Morocco Swallows in Durban. And this week back in 2011 was that week where we thought as a country that we had qualified for AFCON, or at least the players on the pitch did. They played to a scoreless draw against Sierra Leone. They thought that they were going to go through on goal difference, but they were wrong because the tiebreaker was not goal difference wasn't the rule for that competition. They had changed it, so now it was head-to-head record that decided it, and that favored Niger.
Wow.
And Africa and South Africa did not qualify for the Africa Cup of Nations. One of them, you know what's funny about that blunder is that it was Peter Mosimane who was coach at the time.
Wow. And a double whammer 10 years later.
10 years later we have a
suspension. See a common denominator here, Sue. Something repeating in 10 years. I don't know. Must warn whoever is coaching at 2030.
Hopefully, nothing like that happens at Al Ahly though.
No.
We need him to do well. All right. You know, he's made a journey of sorts over to Cairo. Great way to make journeys.
Damn.
It's in a car.
That's a shocking intro. So, Gladwin Shetolo. He drives a beautiful, he's been pictured with a beautiful VW Scirocco. Some say it's an icon reborn. Others, that is VW shamelessly pillaging its back catalog. A couple even postulate it is simply a Golf GTI in a little black dress. The 2-liter TSI is essentially a Golf GTI, but seems quicker and feels like a car for all situations. And it works like a treat. You still get the same VW driving vibe, sure-footedness, accurate steering, plenty of grip, but it's basically a 25% better than the GTI in terms of performance. 0-100 in 5.5 seconds. I give this car an 8 out of 10.
I would still, if I were to buy a VW, I don't know why it's been made to be a terrifying car to me. When I was getting my first car, my mom was like, don't get a VW.
Why?
All robbers can rob VWs. And I don't know. I don't even know if that's true. But if I were to get one, that would be the car I'd get.
You like it, eh?
I love the Scirocco.
I prefer the GTIs, I think, for me.
Deco, are you a GTI or a Scirocco kind of guy?
Both, actually.
As long as it's free.
Drop the guap. All right. We close out the show with a motivational quote of the week. What you got?
Yeah, so this one from, we might as well stick with the theme in Sundown. So this is from Coach Rulani. Love and appreciate where you are, but never forget where you come from. In learning from the best, you will then teach. In teaching, you will learn. So it is directed at his mentor, Pitso Mosimane.
Yeah, that's very nice from Coach Rulani. He's putting out a lot of positivity since Pizzo's left, which is, I think...
Yeah, we like Rulani.
Yeah, we love us some Rulani Mukwena. All right. Yeah. That is how we close off the Car Wash. Whether you've been listening to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or Game Time on Mahikeng 96.7 FM, thank you for joining me on the show. I've been joined with Sean Roberts.
Awe.
And Wanteko Murise.
Hola.
Thank you all. We'll see you same time, same place next week. Peace.
Peace out.
Today is a great day for Car Wash.
Yeah, sure. Car Wash. This is the Car Wash on the SL Podcast. This is a Flangana Car.